Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am Executive Director and host, Brother James Brown Jr., and we do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 until 9 p.m. Well, as usual, and especially for the first-time listeners, I want you all to know that I appreciate each one of you, and I do not take you all lightly or for granted, but I want everyone to please get your Bibles, get your pens and paper ready, so that you can follow along with the man of God in the persons of none other than Minister Eric Chapman. He's my special guest on tonight. Minister Eric Chapman, he is a member of Galilee Missionary Baptist Church in Detroit, Michigan, where his pastor is none other than Dr. Tellis Chapman. He will be sharing a testimony first, then he's going to share God's word with us on tonight. So get your Bibles and pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with the man of God as he gives it to deliver God's word. But we always open up with prayer. So I'm asking all the listeners, if you would please go into prayer with me at this time, because we serve an awesome God. He can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. What a mighty God we serve. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, is in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, and soon coming King. It is in his name that we come on tonight to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name on tonight because we know that you're worthy to be praised, and we know that there is none like you in all the earth. Heavenly Father, we come also in the name of Jesus, asking that you forgive us of all of our sins and transgressions, starting with myself and my entire family, and every faithful, committed doer of your word. And we also lift up Minister Eric Chapman on tonight. Forgive him too, Heavenly Father, before he deliver your word on tonight to your people. And now, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will move by your spirit as he delivers your word, that your word will prick the hearts of those that may be listening on tonight that are spiritually blind to the point that they will be able to open their own mouth even tonight, and confess the Lord Jesus Christ, ask him to come into their hearts and save them, whereby they will be saved even on tonight. And not only they will become saved in his name, they will also come to know and fulfill and live in their God purpose in the earth for your glory is our prayer in the name of Jesus. And Father, we come lifting up everyone that has been affected by the government shutdown. We pray, Lord, that they will remember and know your word. You promised that you would never leave us nor forsake us. You promised that you would supply all of our needs, and we know that you are in total control no matter what it looks like. No matter what the president is trying to do, we know that you are in total control at all times. You sit high and you look low, and all power in heaven and earth is in your hands. Heavenly Father, we pray now and ask that you would touch the hearts and minds of those that are dealing with bereavement, including my family and the loss of minister, my cousin, Minister Charlie Johnson. He's a member of First Baptist Church here in Detroit, Michigan. And we know that you are the comforter, not only for my family, but everyone that is dealing with bereavement on tonight. We know that you are our comforter. You are our strength. You are everything that we need. So we pray that you would move by your spirit. Touch those that are bereaved on tonight. Let them feel your presence. Let them know and remember that earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. In the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we now lift up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. We pray, Lord, that you would touch, heal, and deliver as only you can in the name of Jesus Christ. It is our prayer and our hope and desire on tonight that your word will go forth with power on tonight through your man of God, Minister Edward Chapman, that you will be glorified and that the enemy, Satan, will be even more horrified. So we now pray, Heavenly Father, that you will have your way. Help us to decrease on tonight so that you would increase in us, that you alone will be glorified. And finally, Lord, we want to continue to lift up every listener, that you will continue to bless them, not only by the works of their hands, but you will bless them to the point that they will go out and share the good news about this worldwide ministry so that others can tune in to it and be blessed by it as well. For your glory is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all those that are touching and agreeing with this prayer said amen. Well, we do have another spiritual food for thought. Tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, sometimes our worst enemy is our memory. Let go of the past. Once again, tonight's spiritual food for thought. Sometimes our worst enemy is our memory. Let go of the past. I have one announcement that I would like to make, especially for the first-time listeners and those that tunes in faithfully all the time. You most likely have this information written down. But for the new listeners on tonight, please get your pencil and paper ready so you can write down this announcement. I am going to give you the different hosts that have shows up under my direction. The Lord has been gracious and good to this ministry, and he has opened the door for other shows to be under my direction. So I want you all to write these down so that you can tune in to their shows and be blessed by God's word through them as well. We're going to start off with, theologically speaking, with host Jose Dorsey. His show airs each and every first and third Thursday from 6:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. Once again, theologically, with Jose Dorsey as the host each and every first and third Thursday from 6:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. Then we have Ministry I'm Possible with host Minister Sharon Rambis. He is James A. Jennings is our pastor, and Minister Rambis is his armor bearer. So he have a show up under my direction as well. And his show, once again, is titled Ministry I'm Possible. And his show airs each and every second Thursday and fourth Saturday from 6:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. And then finally, we have Clinically Speaking. This is a young woman of God, a psychologist, who always put the word of God on every issue that she deals with her patients. She put the word of God on every subject or every thing pertaining to or whatever they're dealing with. And her show is titled Clinically Speaking with host Sierra Renee. Her show airs each and every fourth Thursday and every first Saturday night from 6:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. So I pray that you have written down these different shows and the dates and times and the host names so that you can tune in to their shows and to their ministries and be blessed by God's word as well, because we serve a God. He's not only using me in this worldwide platform, but he's using many people around the world to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's why I'm so excited about the word that's going to go forth tonight through Minister Eric Chapman on tonight. We're going to lift him up in prayer, and I ask that you all pray along with him as he get ready to deliver God's word. But before he comes forth with the word of God, he's going to share a testimony with the listeners and myself. He's going to share a testimony, and I'm going to ask him if he could do that right now, if he would share his testimony. And following his testimony, you're going to go to a music break. Then following the music break, I'm going to come back and yield the mic to Minister Chapman so he can deliver God's word. So first and foremost, I introduce to you the worldwide listeners, Minister Eric Chapman. Minister Chapman, if you could please share with the worldwide listeners a testimony, please.
Yes, sir. Good evening to all. And I just briefly want to share with everyone what the Lord has done, or one of the things, rather, that the Lord has done for me. The reason I come before you tonight is because the Lord had called me in this endeavor, and I suffered from the fact that I had received and had known my calling, believe it or not, ever since the tender age of 2 years old. However, due to me being a child and due to me not seeing many, I guess you would say, preachers at a child's age, I neglected to go forth with what I knew I was called to do. And I allowed myself to live several years and did not acknowledge God for what had taken place in my life. And I actually thought that there was something wrong with me. But we thank God because he does know what's best. And upon the Lord saving me at the age of 14, I knew that there was no time like the present. And since that time, I have been trying to hold up the bloodstained banner as best and as high as possible, which is to go to show that no matter who you are, what you've done, how long you've done it, when the Lord has placed something in your life, can use it and he will use you. And I am a living testimony of that to this very moment, that the Lord can use and turn a life around of anybody, particularly those who the world says are no good.
Wow, what a powerful testimony that is. And I'm sure that not only you have dealt with that, but I'm sure that some of the listeners around the world that are listening to us right now most likely have dealt with the same thing. We cannot say that for sure, but I'm sure that someone can relate to what you just said. So that's why ask every first time guest that comes on the show for the first time to share a testimony. Why? Because God says he will share his glory with no one, and he's a jealous God. And we want the world to know that just like God has blessed and anointed you, he's doing it to someone else, even right now as we speak. So we want to give God the glory, do his name, for what he's doing in your life, and that you have accepted the call to preach the word of God to dying men, women, boys, and girls around the world, that he will be glorified. So we thank God for you for sharing that testimony on tonight, because, like I said, someone needed to hear this testimony. You have sent out on their gift, and they know they have been called by God, but the enemy somehow has intervened and telling them, just like you said in your testimony, because people have said the same thing about me, that you're not going to do that. That's not your calling. God did not call you to do that. But when God has a calling on your life, he's going to see it through. But we have to be willing to accept the call. That's what you have done. And so I thank God that you accepted the call, and you are now a man of God standing on his word, preaching and teaching God's word to a dying world, and that you are compelling men, women, boys, and girls to come in and be saved while they have time. So we thank God for you for sharing that powerful testimony on tonight. And right now we're going to go to our music break. And following the music break, we're going to come back and we're going to yield the mic to Minister Erica Chapman to deliver God's word. So once again, I hope and pray that you, the listeners, have your Bibles and your pens and paper ready to follow along with him as he gets ready to go into God's word on tonight. So we're going to enjoy the music break together on tonight. And for such a time as this and what the world is going through, we need to be praying one for another. And that's why I'm going to play this song, Pray For Me, as our music break song. Enjoy.
Come on, KD.
This is an old song from North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm going to sing this song here. My, my, my. Pray for me. Yes, sir. Down by the altar.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Pray for me. The word of God said the fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. And that's why for such a time as this, it is time for the Christians to stop criticizing one another. It is time for the Christians to stop backstabbing one another and being in these little cliques inside and outside of the walls of the church building. It is high time for the church of God to come together and be on one accord. And that's why we need to be praying for one another. We are living in troubled times, but the word of God already told us that these things were going to happen. So we should not be alarmed. We should already know what the word of God says. So that's why I'm asking all listeners, get your Bibles, get your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with the man of God on tonight. Because we don't want anyone to take it lightly or think that we're making up things. We want you to be able to read it for yourself, what the word of God is saying to his people on tonight. So I am so excited to bring forth now our special guest on tonight in the person of Minister Everett Chapman. Before I bring him on, I'm going to let the listeners to know that you can go to blogtalkradio.com/servants ambassadors vessels. And once you get there, please click on follow. Once again, please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants ambassadors vessels. And once you get there, please click on follow. I do welcome all comments and feedback from listeners. You can email me at all lowercase james_brown558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. And I want to give a great shout out to my Bishop James A. Jennings and my church family, the Greater Shield of Faith Baptist Church family. So right now, Minister Everett Chapman, I now yield the mic to you to deliver God's word on tonight.
Thank you, Dr. James Brown. I appreciate this opportunity, the spirit that you have exuding from you and this platform that you have yielded to me. You'll never know how honorable and how humbly thankful I am to you. Now, for all of those yielding me their listening ear, I would that you would take your Bibles and or phones or tablets and turn with me to a passage or pericope of scripture that is familiar to many, in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 12, and looking down at verse number 8, you will find words that read thusly: "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Verse 9 says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Yeah, we'll stop right there. And prayerfully, I just briefly want to talk about for a few minutes, now what? I don't think that there is anyone living today who can attest to the fact that they have not been through some kind of hard time. Whether you're currently in the midst of it, whether you're in process of coming out of it, or maybe you haven't even headed into it yet. All of us face some kind of trouble sometimes. It does not matter how educated that we may be. It does not matter how wealthy we are, how healthy we try to be, how fit and in shape we are, how good we treat folks, how well we try to help and encourage others, how well we live our lives, how much time we spend in the church, how many good deeds that we render, how many backs we scratch to help them get ahead, how much we sacrifice for the betterment of someone else. All of us, at some point in our lives, are going through some things. And I guess the more puzzling thing is that we even find ourselves seemingly the closer that we draw to God, it seems as though that troublesome becomes more rampant and more rapid, in that we seem to go through more mess, more hardships, more heartache, more headache, more hellish times, the closer that we draw to the Lord. I don't understand it, but then again, maybe I do, because I believe that there is a word permeating throughout the sound waves into this distant land to someone tonight, and I serve your notice. Do not be frustrated. Do not be upset. Do not be discouraged, because the one thing that I do want to serve you notice this day is that I have learned in my little short life is that the more attacks that come upon me, the more hardships, the more issues, the more drama, the more danger, the more depression, the more disaster, the more detainments, the more these things come upon me, it is an indicator of the investment that God has placed in me. Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, it is. Because if God had not placed anything in me, then Satan wouldn't be concerned with me at all. But the mere fact that I go in one thing and come out of another, the mere fact that the more I take one step ahead, I take two steps back, the more I get done dealing with one hurdle, I got to jump over another one. The more I get done dealing with this issue, here comes another one, is an indicator or an implicator that God has impeded and imported and imputed something into my life. Thereby, Satan wants to destroy and distort it because he knows God has placed it there. After all, the scripture does bear witness to the fact in John 10 and verse number 10 that the thief has come only but for to steal, kill, and destroy. That which he is coming to steal is what God put there. That what he is trying to kill is what God gave life to. That which he is trying to destroy is what God has built up. And so therefore, everything that he is trying to destroy, tear down, and take away is that which God has placed, put, and positioned in your life to put you at a peak or pinnacle that would give him praise because of what he has done. And for those that may have a hard time believing it, we have the proof, as I like to say, Dr. Brown, right here in our text. Because here we see young Apostle Paul in this particular instance, and he is before the church, and yet he has been given an issue to where in verse number 7 he declares it was given to him by a messenger of Satan to buffet or to beat him down, to destroy him, to throw him off the mark from what God had placed in his life. And so he was given this determinant to detour him from what the destiny was that the divine had devoutly put in his life. Let me give it to you like this. The Lord told Apostle Peter prior to this time, he said, Satan has desired to have you. That's what he wants. He wants to have you, which indicates a closeness, an intimacy, a knowing from within to without. He wants to get real close with you. And he says now, he does this that he may sift you as wheat. Now, of course, we do and should realize that Satan knew, he knew that God had already saved Peter. He knew that Peter was in his camp. Satan wasn't looking at Peter. He was looking at the day of Pentecost, at the 3,000 that would get saved by hearing Peter being used of the Lord, and understood if I stop him, then I can get them over there. And the reason why he's attacking some of you right now is because you have an influence. You have an impact. You have a destiny to deter people from the devilish deeds that he is trying to allot before them. And he knows he can't have you, but he can have the influence and the power that the Lord has put in the parameters of your life. Here it is right here. Verse number 8 now. Paul says, interestingly enough, Dr. Brown, he says, for this thing, I besought the Lord thrice. Now, that's interesting because I hear a lot of people talking about how they don't know how to pray and how issues with prayer. They have issues with calling on the Lord. But trust me when I tell you, when things get bad enough, you'll figure out how to pray. And that goes not only for you personally, but believe it or not, that even goes for us as a nation. Oh, yes. Troublesome times, even as a nation, has taught us how to pray. I know we say that this day and age, this is a different day, and we're living in a different era and a different time, but it's awful strange to me how God's word never changes. Never changes. It never wavers. It never goes from one thing to another. It still remains the same. It, as you can see, as a nation, we know how to pray when we need to. You don't believe me? Go back to the early 1920s when the stock market had crashed and people were losing their minds and even taking their lives because they had lost everything. A lot of people started praying. Fast forward to the 50s and the 60s when discrimination and evil times were permeating through our streets like a rabid dog. We knew how to pray at that time. Fast forward, we ran into a terroristic time when people started to fly planes into building and take the lives of innocent people that were just going through a normal Tuesday morning on September 11, 2001. And after all of these people and responders and EMS and police officers and firemen and innocent civilians had been killed and hurt and harmed, we as a nation decided we need to come together and start praying. 5 years later, around 2006, The city and state of Louisiana and some of the surrounding regions had been baptized and submerged underwater in what we AKA as Hurricane Katrina. And at the loss of so many, we found ourselves as a nation learning once again how to pray. And so now here we are, and many of us are doing better than we've ever done before. Many of us are living a lifestyle that we've never lived before. Many of us are enjoying the conveniences of life that we've never enjoyed before. And yet and still, when we get to that point, we forget and misplace our prayer time. But allow somebody to get sick. Allow somebody that you love to die. Allow somebody to get laid off their job. Allow somebody's home to be foreclosed. Allow somebody's child to become an inmate in prison. Allow somebody to be given bad news from a physician. Allow somebody to lose everything that they worked for their entire life. Allow somebody to come home to find out their wife has cheated. Allow somebody to find out that their husband ain't what they thought they were. I guarantee you, you'll find yourself somewhere learning how to pray. Mm-hmm. And Paul was no exception. He was the same way, because the Bible tells us that here he is on the battlefield for the Lord. Here he is claiming that for God I live and for God I die. Here he is living the life that will bring about persecution, because he's living the life for Jesus the Christ. And now we find that he was struck with a thorn in the flesh. And the Bible declares in verse number 8 that it was for this thing, he said, that I besought the Lord thrice. He could have asked the Lord for a whole lot of things. He could have asked the Lord for more mercy. He could have asked the Lord for another day. He could have asked the Lord to forgive him of his sin. He could have asked the Lord to give him more opportunity to preach his word. He could have asked the Lord to give him more conveniences in life. He could have asked the Lord for more health and strength. But he didn't mention any of that. He just simply said it was all for this thing right here. And it's interesting at how the Lord can allow things to happen to us. And the only thing that you can mention to him is what you're going through. We got families that are screaming and hollering and crying in pain and emotional scars right now because of the loss of a loved one who was sitting at a gas station, or someone sitting in the house, straight bullet come through the door. Somebody went to go visit somebody and never made it home. People are going through all kinds of issues. But at the same time, no matter what we are going through, we need to take this thing to the same man. That's exactly who Paul brought it to. And the Bible declares he besought the Lord thrice. The word besought means he begged him. He pleaded with him. He kept on asking God, please. Not because God couldn't hear. Not because God was deaf. Not because God was didn't have enough time and attention to attend to the needs of his servant. Not because he felt like if I don't keep asking him, he ain't going to give me no mind. But it was because he wanted to show to God, I keep coming to you because you're the only one I feel can do something about my situation. And that's the problem with a lot of us. We take some of our burdens to our man. We take some of our burdens to our lady. We take too much of our hang-ups to our homies. We take our problems to our partners. We take our calamities to our crew. We even take it to the church. But there are some times where you just need to take your burdens to the Lord. And the old folks would say you need to just leave it there. But here, when we see that he says he besought, he besought the Lord. That's what the Bible says. He besought him. The word besought, parakaleo, listeners, in the Greek, parakaleo actually means to call near or to invite. And it's strange at how when we're going through things, it can make it appear as though God is far away. God is not concerned. God is too caught up with the other affairs of this world. God is caught up with other children that he loves. But I come to tell you, I love him so much because though he can deal with the rest of the world, he still got ample time to deal with me. And not only does he have time to deal with me, but he has time to deal with you, because at the same time, God is omnipresent, which means he's at everywhere at the same time. God is never too busy where he's too busy to be with me. He's never too busy where he can't see about me. He's never too busy where he can't be concerned about my needs. And so Paul had called him near. He called him closer because he felt as though I have to keep calling, because it seems like the more I'm in pain, the more I'm hurting, the more I feel without, that God is nowhere around. And some of us have felt that same way. You have went through something for quite some time, and you've been feeling, you've been praying, you've been asking the Lord because you trust him. You know he can change things. You know he can change people. You know he can change situations. You know he can change outcomes. But yet and still, he hasn't moved yet. He hasn't spoken to your situation. He hasn't brought you out yet. He hasn't healed somebody's body yet. You're still hurting at the loss of a loved one. So therefore, you start to wonder, where is he? So Paul says, I had to call him near. And I had to do it three times because the pain got so severe that I almost forgot who it was I was talking to. But what I love so much is that with all that we've done, with all
that we have tried, with all of the efforts that we have put forward, my question is to you, now what? Yes, you prayed. Yes, you went to church. Yes, you may even have paid your tithe. Yes, you was dedicated as you most possibly could be. Yes, you gave him the best that you had. Yes, you were just as faithful as you could be. Yes, you gave it your best shot. Yes, you was committed. Yes, you was determined. Yes, you was dedicated. Yes, you would not waver. Yes, you was steadfast. Yes, you was unmovable. But yet and still, things didn't turn out your way. Yet and still, you had to suffer. Yet and still, you had to cry. Yet and still, you were alone. Yet and still, you were misunderstood. Yet and still, no one came to your rescue. Yet and still, you could find no encouragement. Yet and still, you could find no inspiration. Yet, nobody was on your side. And now the question is, now what? I'm so glad you got to that point, because that's the point that I found myself at many times in my life. And I've got to share this with you. There have been many times where I felt as though the answer was coming from something out in the world. Some of you may know what I'm saying. You know how it gets. We get frustrated. We get complacent. We get alone. We get overbeared. We get overburdened. We get troubled. And what do? We turn to things of the world. And I'm not just talking about people in the world, because even us in the church, we do the same thing. We feel as though our issues will be rectified with scratch offs. We feel that our problems won't linger if we can hit the lottery. We feel that crises will calm down through the casino. We feel as though that all we got to do is get to that store just to get that bottle that they place in a brown bag, and it'll be all right. We feel as though we can make it as long as we can take a cigar, split it open, empty it out, put something else in it, seal it back up, light it, inhale the smoke, and everything will be all right. But I come to tell you today that you've done that before, but you're still having problems. You drink up million bottles, and you're still having a heavy heart. You smoke million blunts, and you still can't find no peace. It's got to be the question, now what? Some of us have relied on trying to jump from the lap of one lover to the next. We feel like, oh, I messed up with this one, go get with the next one. And all you're doing is wasting yourself away. And when you get done with all of your physical pleasures and all of your needs being fulfilled, because we all say we got urges these days, when all of that gets done, then you're still back right where you started. You're still with a heavy heart, still got tears coming out of your eyes, still faking a funky smile in people's face. But when you leave their presence, your heart sinks down between your knees. You still are hurting. You're still holding on by a thread. And so now I come to ask you on this night, now what? Well, as I get ready to leave you, I'll tell you, the answer is right in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse number 9. Because even though we know about his grace, and I understand a lot of people, we get tired of hearing about things like that because we've been hearing about it for so long. And we start to wonder, well, how in the world, when am I going to sample of it? But I come to tell you, it was his mercy and grace that has kept you up to this point. Because I certainly noticed there have been a lot of people that went through a whole lot less, and it has done more damage to them, and yet you've been through a whole lot more, and yet you're still standing. Goes to show me that his mercy is still mesmerizing, and his grace is still good. Well, but though I could, if I had the time, I tell you how we got grace in the wrong place. Because I always hear Dr. Brown about his grace and his mercy. And it is highly unfortunate that we've got it in the wrong chronological order, in that it was not his grace that gave us mercy, but it was actually his mercy that gave us grace. And yet, though we don't even realize how wonderful mercy and grace really is, that still is not what we should be worried about at this moment. Because I understand that many of us have tried our best. And I know what you're saying, because when you've done your best, what else can you do? But I serve you notice today that when you've done your best, you need to learn how to just turn it over to him. And I know what some of you are saying, well, Brother Chapman, I turned it over to him a long time ago. And I still find myself in the same predicament and point that I was in when I first took it to him. Because you had to realize that by the time Paul had prayed the third time, he was still in the same position that he was in when he prayed the first time. However, the difference is now is that he realizes, no matter what position I am in, keep on going back to him. Because as long as I can go back to him, that means I'm still in a blessed position. And that's why we can't ever give up on God and his power, because we don't even realize while we're waiting on him to answer our prayer, he's already ahead of schedule by keeping us while we're waiting on the answer. However, I want to serve you notice, we understand that his grace is sufficient. But what makes me shout and what gets me excited and enthused, invigorated and ignited, is the fact that not only did he give me grace, but if you look at the text, he did something even before he gave me grace. Y'all have to excuse me tonight. I'm starting to get excited because I had a personal flashback of what the Lord has done for me. Well, if you look very closely at verse number 9, the Lord did something even before he even mentioned his grace. And you would think that his grace is good enough and that it would be suffice for whatever situation that we find ourselves stuck and stagnated in. However, what makes me thankful tonight is that the Bible says in verse 9, he said unto me. What that suggests is that God spoke to me. And that's what some of us need to be waiting on. Not necessarily waiting on deliverance, and not necessarily waiting on a new car, new job, or a new man. We need God to speak to us. For you do realize that when God speaks, power takes place. And that's why Paul says later on in the same verse that now I'm most glad. It is because he realized God had spoke to him. And if you would only get God to speak to you, then you realize that you can make it through anything. And so, no matter what goes on in your life, no matter what happens, because I told you when Paul besought him, he called him near. But when the Lord said unto him, that word said is ario in the Greek, it means he called him out. So while Paul was trying to call out the Lord in turn called him out as if to say, you must not realize who you're talking to. I still have all power. And even today in 2019, with all that's going on, with all of the evil in the land, with all of the wrongdoing and wickedness and weakness that's in our world, I serve notice to everyone that hears my voice, God still has all power. God still cares about his people. God still is concerned about you. And if he requires for us to be steadfast and unmovable, that means that is exactly what he is. He is steadfast. God is unmovable. God is consistent. God is constant. God is continuous. And thank God, he is faithful. He knows whatever it is that's going through you or you're going through. And because he didn't bring you out at a time that you thought was conducive to you, does not mean he doesn't know, and it doesn't mean he doesn't care. Because let me serve you notice, and I'll let you go. The things in this world cannot help you. And I'm telling you from what I know personally, trust me, the bottle will run out. The blood will burn out, but the Lord will bring you out. I promise you that. I put my life on it. I don't know too much, but I do know what I know, and I know whom I know. And I do know that he is able to keep us from falling. Pray God this day that no matter what Satan has placed in your life around you, even in the midst of your loved ones, that we would utter the same sentiments as David. That in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. I dare not lie to anybody and tell you that life is going to always be sweet. I dare not sell you a bill of goods by making you think that life is always going to go your way. But I can guarantee you this. If you seek him first and his righteousness, all these other things, according to Matthew 6 and verse 33, shall be added unto you. All of them. Whatever it is. Job, all these other things. A home, all these other things. More health, all these other things. Comfort to a grieving heart, all these other things. A lifestyle that's conducive to what you believe in, all these other things. Your biggest and wildest dreams, all these other things. It's not too late. You haven't done too much. You haven't done it too long. God is willing and able to not only forgive, not only to heal, but to turn everything, including your life and you, completely around. I believe that. I know it for a fact. And I pray to God this night that while someone is asking the question, now what? They will remind themselves that he's trying to speak to me. And instead of being frustrated, instead of being angry, instead of giving up, throwing up my hands and doing my own thing, I decided, Lord, I'm going to try it your way. And that way, if I do it your way and things don't come out the best, I have no one to blame but you. But I can guarantee you, you won't have to worry. Try it his way. Try him. Not tomorrow. Not next month. Tonight. And if you need salvation, I serve your notice today. He'll save you. He'll do it because if you can believe that his son Jesus, thank you, Lord, for him, died on the cross, that we could stand before God as though we had never done wrong. Oh, yeah, he died. I tell you, he did. And that they buried him. And that 3 days later, on the fourth day of the week, he rose. I promise you, he'll save you right now. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Brown. Thank you to all of your listeners. And again, thank you for this opportunity.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for what a powerful, awesome word for such a time as this. Now what? That's a good subject matter for tonight. Good topic. After we've gone through all the things and we've tried everything that we can try to make things better, and we see that they did not work. Now what? What are you going to do now? Who are you going to turn to now? So we know that who are saved in Jesus' name, we know that we can turn to Jesus Christ. So you who are listening, if you're not saved in Jesus' name on tonight, it's not too late. You can open your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is God's Son, that he came from glory in the form of a person, in the form of flesh, man, to pay our sin debt with his own precious blood. He paid a debt that he did not owe, but he paid a debt that he knew that we could not pay. So aren't you grateful on tonight? I am so glad that Jesus came down and he paid the price so that I, me, you, whoever chooses to accept him as God's son, you can have a right to the tree of life throughout eternity to be with the Lord forever. So I pray that you have received this word on tonight, such a powerful word for such a time as this, what we're living in now. This is an awesome, awesome, powerful, much-needed word on tonight. Thank you, Minister Eric Chapman, first for that testimony, that powerful testimony. And then thank you for sharing the word of God on tonight. Somebody needed to hear that word on tonight. So that's what I love about God. He knows who's going to be listening, and he knows exactly what we stand in need of. So you delivered the word on tonight with power on tonight. I know that God is glorified and the devil is more horrified after hearing that word on tonight. So you continue to stand on the wall. Continue to be the man of God that he has called and anointed and appointed you to be for such a time as this. Minister Chapman, before I release you, I want to give you an opportunity to share with the worldwide listeners how they can get in contact with you if there is a church that wants you to come minister to them. How would they be able to reach you? And also, you can give your shout out at this time.
Yes, sir. Thank you again, Dr. Brown. For those that I need to contact me for whatever the reason. My number, which I have no problem rendering, is area code 313-220-8875. You can call me at any time if I'm at work or I'm not occupied at the time. You can just leave a message. I'll get back to you ASAP. I thank God for Dr. James Brown for this opportunity. I come to you by way of the Galilee Baptist Church, located on East 7 Mile and Outer Drive. Our address is 5251 East Outer Drive, and where we have two services at 8 o'clock in the morning, and our second one is at 11:15. Between we have our Hour Power
teaching Christian education moment. And I thank God to be sitting under what I look at as probably one of the greatest pastors this side of glory, Pastor Tellus J. Chapman. And if you are in need of preaching and teaching at its best, and that's no slight on any other preachers or teachers, I'm just making reference to who I'm exposed to. Pastor Chapman is who you want to hear. We have a blessed ministry there, and all are welcome. And Lord knows, I look forward to seeing you there if I ever get a chance. Thank you again, Dr. James Brown. I mean that. You'll never know how much you meant to me and to what little ministry the Lord has blessed me with. And I pray that the Lord will continue to aid and assist you in doing what it is that he has destined and purposed for your life. And you have been a blessing and an inspiration to me and to countless others that you don't even know anything about. And I just pray that the Lord continue to bless you and open more doors for you to exude and in ministry.
Amen. I've received that word on tonight. I received that in love, and I know that that's a word from the Lord for me, and I do receive that, and I thank you for it. Once again,
yes, sir.
I want to thank you for taking your time out, because I know you're a busy man, and I thank God for you taking time out to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to the worldwide listeners. And I know that someone was blessed by this word, because that word on tonight, it really helped me. And so I'll be taking notes,
yes,
while I'm listening to the ministers that, as they deliver God's word. Believe me, I have a folder with every minister's name on it. That I take notes, and I write down scriptures when they're delivering the word. And that's why I ask the listeners to get your pens and paper so that you can write down these scriptures. So in your leisure time, you can go back over them during the week or in your free time and let the Lord minister to you again, because he may give you a new revelation,
yes,
on what you just heard. So God's word is inexhaustible. It never changes. You may get a different message from the same topic, but that's,
yes,
why,
sir,
it's so important to be in God's word. So you have been a blessing to me, Minister Chapman, on tonight, and I know that you was a blessing
Thank
to
you,
the
man.
Listeners on tonight. So God is not through with you yet. The best for you is yet to come. As long as you continue to stay faithful, committed, and dedicated to what God has called you to do for his glory, you haven't seen nothing yet. So I just want to take time out to say thank you, and I appreciate you for sharing God's word to his people on tonight. So on
thank
tonight,
you,
listeners, I want you all to know that God is good, and he's good all the time. Even though we are dealing with the government shutdown, we know that God is still in control, no matter what it looks like, no matter how it feels, no matter what we hear or even what we think. We must stand on God's word. His word says that he would never leave us nor forsake us, and we can cast all of our cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for us. I'm so glad that the Lord cares for me, and I know that I'm his and he's mine. And so I pray that he's yours,
yes,
and
sir,
he belongs to you as well on tonight. So as we get ready to close out tonight's program, I want you all to please tune in this coming Saturday, January the 19th, where Pastor Norman King, he's the pastor of Victor's Outreach Ministries, located in Greensboro, North Carolina. Once again, Pastor Norman King from Victor's Outreach Ministries of Greensboro, North Carolina, will be bringing the word on this coming Saturday night. He is my first cousin from North Carolina. He will be bringing the word on Saturday night, so you want to tune in and be blessed by that word also. And for those of you that may have tuned in, I'm asking you all to please pray for my family as we celebrate the homegoing of my first cousin, Minister Charlie Johnson Jr. His homegoing service will be this Saturday morning at 11 a.m. at First Baptist World Changers Ministries on the west side of Detroit on West 8 Mile Road at 11 a.m. So keep my family in prayer as we still deal with my father, who is dealing with stage 4 cancer, and also my aunt in North Carolina, who is also dealing with cancer. But God is still good, and he's still worthy to be praised. So we're going to close out,
yes,
in prayer, as we always do. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, within the name of Jesus, we come to you again, thanking you for who you are. We thank you for your grace and your mercy on tonight. We thank you for your word. We know your word is true. You cannot fail. You cannot lie. You cannot change. We just bless your name on tonight because we know that you're worthy. We bless your name on tonight because you have used your man of God, Minister Everett Chapman, on tonight to deliver your word, and he delivered your word with power. So we give you glory and honor and praise for that as well in Jesus' name. So continue to bless the listeners, that they will continue to be doers of your word, and not just doers, but they not just hearers, but they will be doers of your word, and that they will continue to spread the good news about this worldwide ministry so that others can tune in and be blessed by it as well, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, know that God loves you. I love you too. Continue to be blessed of the Lord. Until the next time, good night.